Good afternoon. Reporting for WFHB, this is Noelle Herhusky-Schneider.
And I'm Cade Young. You're listening to the WFHB local news for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024.
Later in the program, WFHB correspondents Kelsey Peace and Elise Perry will be live in the studio during our spring fun drive. More throughout today's newscast.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Lil Bub's Lil Show, a co-production between WFHB and Lil Bub's Big Fund.
Today's feature report, we rebroadcast WFHB correspondent Kelsey Peace's coverage of the adult winter recess.
Foursquare, dodgeball, and musical chairs are just a few of the many games that frequented our childhoods. Bloomington Parks and Recreation is bringing these memories back for adults, but with a twist. The second annual Adult Winter Recess took place Saturday, February 17th at the Twin Lakes Recreation Center. A plethora of throwback recess games, concessions, and craft beer were offered to the 21-plus adults that registered to attend the event. Community Events Coordinator Crystal Ritter discussed the purpose of Adult Winter Recess.
What we realized at Parks and Recreation is we have a lot of great facilities and a lot of fun things, and we do a lot of programming, but a lot of that programming was really geared towards children, and we wanted to create an event that really encouraged adults to get out, have fun, play with each other, do some competitive games, do some creative things, and it was kind of an idea to do a throwback event that kind of was reminiscent of summer camp or like field day at your school that you went to while growing up, and we wanted to recreate a winter version of that as well. And this event is all about adults just having fun and playing.
Among the throwback recess games were 80s and 90s themed portraits, crafts, and music.
Hoping that people just come out and have a good time. Maybe you see something fun that takes you back to your childhood. We have a large photo booth that we're going to have set up that looks like the old school photos that you can pose like you're sitting on your stool. It's the laser light one that you might remember from yearbooks of yesteryear. And then we have some other throwback activities as well that will really take you back a little bit. Plus, we play music of the 90s and 2000s as well to kind of throw back. And just lots of fun activities that we hope people will enjoy and also be a little bit active or creative. The music really helps set the scene, and we use the music in several different capacities. One of the most popular events the last couple of years has been One Hit Wonder Musical Chairs, where we play, so the music's part of the event, but we also use the activities as well, and we play One Hit Wonders from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, and adults play competitive and musical chairs.
Ritter expressed that Adult Winter Recess and other similar parks and recreation events can serve as rare opportunities for community members to get out of the house and have fun with other adults around Bloomington.
I think what draws people to our winter recess and adult field day events is just kind of a low barrier way to come out and have fun, to interact with other adults. We don't really get that opportunity. A lot of times if we're going out with our friends or we're going to something specific, and this program really encourages you. You can come with a friend, but it really encourages you to play games with other people while you're here. And there's not a lot of opportunities like that. So that was something we really wanted to encourage with this event as well. And we're hoping that people will come with a competitive and fun spirit.
Bloomington community member Katie Thompson missed out on the summer version of Adult Recess, but was ecstatic to attend this one.
A friend of mine went to the summer recess and said it was super fun, and I wasn't able to go. And so when I saw this, I was super excited. Also, pretty much everything that is happening I like, including the games and the crafts and the alcohol. And yeah, it's very exciting.
Thompson's favorite recess game as a kid was Foursquare. She explains why.
When I was a kid, I hit up the Foursquare. I feel like I did some Foursquare. I was not great at it, but I was really bad at pretty much everything else. So Foursquare was as good as it was going to get. Do they have Foursquare?
I think she
I mean, they must have, right? Foursquare. All right. Well, if there is, I will play it, and I will rope my friends into playing it too.
The Adult Field Day in July will be the next opportunity for those 21 and over to act like little kids on the playground again, either as a volunteer or event goer.
I think Adult Winter Recess and Adult Field Day, the winter and summer versions, have been really popular events, and we're going to continue doing them and create more adult-oriented programming that gets adults out and playing in our parks and facilities and just remembering what it is to have fun. Occasionally, one of the cool things about being an event coordinator is we get to come up with these awesome events, but we always make sure that people who are either volunteering or working the event have a chance to kind of have some fun too. So last year at Adult Winter Recess, we had our super cart, which it has adult tricycles, and it's themed like Mario Kart, where people could race each other on the adult tricycles. And I definitely got on one of those trikes and was racing. And we have boxes that you have to grab that look like the question mark boxes from the game.
Thompson just has one request for the next Adult Winter Recess.
We wish it was longer, like 2 hours. I feel like there's not enough time to do everything that's here.
For WFHB News, I'm Kelsey Peace.
Hi, my name's Elise. I'm a WFHB News intern. It is currently our spring fun drive.
Hello, and I am Kelsey Peace, and I am also a WFHB News intern. Thank you for listening. Our goal for the show is $200. So
Kelsey, we just heard your feature about Adult Winter Recess. Could you tell me about the process, how you went through creating that feature?
Oh, yes. So I discovered the event, I think, on the Volunteer Network, and I reached out to the director and I set up an interview, and it was a really amazing experience to go to a community event, interact with people in the community, adults in this case, and I got to just observe and talk and just see what people care about in Bloomington.
Well, could you tell me what it's been like interning with WFHB this semester?
Interning with WFHB this semester has been refreshing. I was in a nearly 3-year burnout just with journalism, and when I started at WFHB, it kind of got me reconnected with the mission, and that's to serve the people, to serve you. And I feel like it all was kind of fate in a way. I ran into Cade and Noel at a speaker event like sophomore year, and they told me about WFHB. And then the following semester, they came to my class and told me about WFHB again. And then I finally was like, well, I should like apply and see what WFHB is all about. And now I'm here.
Well, that sounds like quite a process, quite a story. Why do you think people should support WFHB Community Radio?
I think that WFHB is definitely a treasure in the community. People really look to WFHB for local community reporting, and I think that it would be different if WFHB wasn't here and there wasn't such a diverse community talking about what people care about.
Well, Kelsey, I have one last question for you. How can people go about donating to WFHB?
Of course. I just want to reiterate that our goal for the show is $200. You can call 812 812- 323-1200 and talk to Kate, or you can go to the WFHB website and click on the big red donate button.
And also, folks, if you donate $60 or more, you get a hat.
Exactly. Or you can subscribe and pay $5 a month, and you will also receive that hat, a WFHB branded hat. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Next, we turn to an archive report from WFHB correspondent Elise Perry. We turn to Perry for more.
Over the past few years, interest in NCAA women's basketball has increased seemingly exponentially. Last year, the women's championship game between Iowa and LSU had almost 10 million viewers, which showed a 103% increase from the previous year. At IU, this increase is just as evident. This season, average home game attendance is over 10,000 attendees. That's up from an average attendance of only 3,600 in the 2018-2019 season only 5 years ago. IU Athletic Director Scott Dolson credits much of the team's newfound attention to head coach Terry Morin. He said that Morin has created a consistent and competitive team that has garnered viewership through its skill.
Yeah, I'd say here at IU, you know, I think our growth is, you know, directly attributed to Coach Morin and her staff, and then ultimately the players who make it all happen. But she's recruited really well and really built on a program that's not just built on one player or two players, but built on a system. And whenever you can build a system, then you can kind of have a philosophy that you recruit to, and then you can create consistency in wing and success. And I think that's what, you know, Coach Morin gets all the credit in the world for in doing here. And then at the same time, I think women's basketball just nationally through great coaching and great players, great games, great coverage, where people have really been attracted to watch, you know, last year's NCAA tournament run and everything that happened with LSU and Iowa, you know, I think was really a great thing for women's basketball in general. And I think that's helped programs all over the country.
IU women's basketball has sold out two home games in program history. The first happened last year when over 17,000 fans packed into Assembly Hall to watch IU play Purdue. The second sellout was a couple weeks ago when IU played Iowa. Tickets for the Indiana-Iowa game sold for an average of $353, according to the Herald Times. The increasing number of fans attending games at IU led the athletic department to create a season ticket section and to charge for parking outside of the stadium. Scott Dolson says that the athletic department is implementing these changes to try and grow with the program.
Yeah, last season, the growth of the attendance at every game really came about sort of a little more quickly, I guess, during the season, and we couldn't just pivot and start assigning seats throughout the season. So we met towards the back end of the season and looking towards this season and trying to figure out what can we do to make the best fan experience possible.
Dolson continued to say that he hopes the women's team can one day earn as much revenue as the men's team.
You know, if you'd have told me 10 years ago that, you know, we potentially could average 10,000 fans a game at our women's games for a season, you know, if you had told me that 10 years ago, I would have never believed it. So if you'd say at some point, can the women's programs across the country, but specifically here at IU, have the same or the same revenue stream as the men, or to have the same television ratings? Yeah, I'd believe it for sure. I think that's the path we're on. That's what we hope to do.
Regardless of the money earned by the program, Dolson is proud of the progress they've made. He says that they are a model for other teams around campus.
I think it's been a great thing, and it makes me feel, I'm just really, really proud and happy. I know there's a lot of people who put a lot of work into it, and it's great to see that work provide great results And they're our women's basketball team is a in program is a model for some of our other programs to really try to emulate what they've done or copy what they've done to build their program.
On February 22nd, Iowa and Indiana fans made the trip to watch IU women's second ever sold out home game, where Indiana beat Iowa 86-69. The Indiana-Iowa game matched up two of the top three teams in the Big Ten Conference. Just looking at Indiana's Mackenzie Holmes and Iowa's Caitlin Clark, there were multiple record holders on the court. Mackenzie Holmes holds the IU women's record for scoring. Caitlin Clark, who just announced her entry into the 2024 WNBA draft, is the all-time leading scorer in Division I basketball. Out of 32 regular season games Clark played in, home and away, 30 were sold out. Danielle Patterson, a former Indiana player and current grad assistant at St. John's in New York City, said that the overall skill level of the players in women's college basketball is a driving factor of the increased viewership.
Well, I think girls are now doing things that they haven't done before. Like, I'm not going to say, like, dunking, because I feel like there have been people in the past that have dunked. You've had, like, your Lisa Leslies and your Candace Parkers and your Brittany Griner. So that's not necessarily new. I do think the skill sets and the positions are changing. I think you're starting to have, like, positionless basketball. So you have guards and posts that can, you know, you have posts that are like guards that can dribble and shoot and do all. They're not, like, just basic post players anymore. Also, you also have, you know, this rise in media attention. So before, you know, we weren't getting as much attention. So how would you know what the product is? Whereas now you look at like the South Carolinas and the LSUs and how much attention that they bring and other programs as well. I'm just using those two as examples, IU. And you're like, wow, like this product has been good all along, but now it's really getting televised. And it's hard to really support something that you don't see a lot of. If it's not on TV, if it's not put in a way or placed in a way where people can actually view it, how are they going to know what the product is?
Patterson started her college career playing at Notre Dame. She transferred to IU her junior year. Then she transferred to St. John in 2021 to finish her final 2 years of eligibility. She thinks that social media and NIL deals, which allow players to make money off their name, image, and likeness, have also played a huge role in the advancement of women's basketball.
I mean, I started playing when I was five. So when I was coming through, especially like AAU, before you get to college, social media was playing somewhat of a part. I feel like it's playing an even bigger part now than what it ever has. And I think that's elevated the eyes that have kind of turned to look at women's basketball, because now you can just open your phone and you can basically look up anybody and kind of find out whatever you want to about your favorite players. Where a few years back, you had social media, but I feel like when I was in high school, it might have not been as a big thing. It was a big thing, but it wasn't as big as it was now. So just kind of seeing that evolution. And also now with NIL, I kind of got the tail end of NIL. So let me see. I think I got 2 years of it, maybe three. Whereas, you know, now kids are coming through and they're getting like multi-million dollar deals to, you know, buy this drink company or this food company. So I think that's been a big turnaround too for women's basketball.
Over 15% of all NIL deals go to women's college basketball players. LSU's Angel Reese has been making headlines for receiving the most NIL deals of any college basketball player across men and women. Regardless of the reason for the viewership spike, Patterson says it impacts the energy and performance of the players.
You definitely feel it when people are behind you and they've taken the time out of their Thursday night or their Saturday night or their Sunday night and said, I could be doing anything else, but I chose to come here to this basketball game and bring my daughter, bring my son, bring myself, my spouse, whoever, and watch a women's basketball game. Like, how could you not want to put on the best show that you possibly can? And that, I mean, that speaks volumes on both sides, that you're giving your all as a player and people are giving up their time to come and support you. So I think that just kind of sums that up, and you just feel it. It feels different.
The increased viewership of women's college basketball is clear when looking at past championship games. In 2014, Notre Dame played UConn in the NCAA championship game with around 3 million viewers. The game was one of the most watched of all time. Now, less than 10 years later, the 2023 NCAA championship game between LSU and Iowa garnered almost 10 million viewers.
Fans credit the league's attention growth to players' and coaches' attitudes. Lori Bellinger came to the Iowa-Indiana game with four generations of family members. She said that the family loves coming to the women's games because of the electric atmosphere.
Just really being here, feeling the electricity in here, seeing the smiles on everybody's faces. Everybody was so kind, waiting in line, and we're ready to see this game.
Cassidy Harris, a childhood friend of number 22 Chloe Moore McNeil, also attended the Iowa-Indiana game on the 22nd. At the game, she said that she loves watching the team because of the way they work together.
Your favorite part about the Indiana women's basketball team?
I think how they play as a team. I think that they have great girls on their team, and just being able to watch them all go out and play as a team together, it's really an awesome thing to get to experience.
The IU women's basketball team will be playing in the Big Ten tournament starting this Wednesday, March 6th. This year's tournament is the first ever to be completely sold out. They will also play in the NCAA tournament starting on March 20th. With the skill in the game this year, it's impossible to guess who will come out with the trophy. For WFHB, I'm Elise Perry.
Hello, hello. My name is Kelsey Peace, and I am back on air with the WFHB Spring Drive. Just remember that our goal for this episode is $200.
And I'm still Elise, and Kelsey said it all.
All right, Elise, your feature about the women's basketball team was just on air. Can you tell me a little bit about the reporting process for that?
I really enjoyed the reporting process for that piece because I'm not going to lie to you, women's basketball is like my life from November to March. And so it was really cool to just be able to dive into women's basketball so heavy and just talk to like Danielle Patterson. She used to work here at WFHB. So that was really cool to talk to her. And it was just really cool to make that piece and to talk to everybody in the athletic department and just be able to share my love for the game with so many people.
Do you think that her connection to WFHB made the interview go a little bit, like, just a little bit more intimate?
It was actually really great to have something to connect with her about because, like, right now she's a grad assistant for St. John, and I'm not going to lie, don't know a lot about that program, but I had something as an icebreaker, something to really connect with her with because we have this shared experience, and it was a really cool way to start a relationship.
Wow, that's awesome. Can you tell me a little bit about your time as an intern here at WFHB?
Well, when I first came into the station, I'm not going to lie to you, I felt like I was at home.
Aww.
Like just coming in here, and I had never been in a recording booth before, and it just made me realize, you know, journalism is actually maybe what I want to do. Like, I mean, I'm already studying it, but it really set me in the headspace of this is it. I guess being at WFHB it's let me try so many new things, and it's provided me a support system to really blossom into a reporter and to have all these experiences that are going to be so useful in my future.
Yeah, me and Elise are both WFHB news interns, and I can say that my experience has been the same. So Elise, why do you think people should support WFHB radio?
Well, you know, WFHB, this place, well, I mean, both of us have this experience where mm-hmm. we're like, this is it. This is
home.
Yeah, it's just great. And so if you guys support WFHB, you'll be able to help future generations of me and Kelsey and everyone else at this station who just love it here. And you'll just be able to help keep it alive. And so I definitely think you should support. So if you want to donate, you should call 812-323-1200. You'll talk to our lovely phone catcher, Kate. Or if you don't want to call, you could donate at WFHB.org. You can just go to the website and there's a big red button. You can just click it and donate.
And just to reiterate what Elise was saying, I think WFHB is a huge contact point between campus and the community, and it's essential for students. So again, call 812-323-1200 or go to WFHB.org to donate. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
Support for the WFHB local news is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. More information online at mpisolarenergy.com. Listening to the WFHB local news on WFHB Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@WFHB.org. You can become a WFHB local news volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. Feel free to check out the WFHB local news archive at WFHB.org to find newscasts, individual stories, and catch a live feed of the WFHB local news. We are local, longer,